Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, hour number two of Fantasy Sports Today, getting underway. Kevin Walsh here. John Engel cracking me up downstairs. Kevin Walsh here alongside George Kurtz. George, I like that they play commercials for the show right before. It's kind of like, oh, what's that good point I'm hearing? Oh, it's me. Surprise, surprise. You know, it kind of gets me ready for the hour.
Always feels weird hearing myself. And I don't know why. It almost makes me cringe sometimes hearing myself. I like hearing the moment Corey trying to defend Tony Romo being a Hall of Famer. I'm a Cowboy fan, folks. Okay? And I'm a Romo supporter. I think Romo is extremely underrated. He's not a Hall of Famer. Now, anybody who knows me knows I don't care about the Hall of Fame or saw all these old MVP awards or anything like that. It's all political. It's all crap. But that being said, when it comes to the Hall of Fame, I am a very strict, a very high standard person. In my mind, there pretty much has to be no doubt. Tony is another one of those guys. He's the Hall very good. You know, Hall very good, not a Hall of Fame.
It's Carton and
you know, I would take guys out of the Hall of Fame.
I think he's better than Troy Aikman.
I think he's not a Hall of Famer. I think he's the best quarterback in Dallas Cowboy history.
But he's not a Hall of Famer.
He just ain't with no championship.
You can't put him in the Hall of Fame, man.
Why not?
Like, Hall of Fames are one of those things, right away you just know if he is or isn't.
The fact that it can be argued tells you that he's not getting in.
The media likes Tony, but even with the media liking him, you don't hear that push for Tony Romo to be a Hall of Famer.
He will be.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
In case you didn't get enough of it during the breaks, there you go. You get another commercial from what Gabe said is right there. You should know right away that a player is a Hall of Famer. I mean, and that's the way it is for me. In any sport, oh yeah, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. You know, I understand there can be some guys who are on the board and you do need to discuss and look at the numbers. Maybe you forgot about them and you realize, oh, he is a Hall of Famer. But listen, Romo... he's very good. He was. And I'll say it again. I'm a Cowboy fan and a Romo supporter. But I'm not quite the homer that Corey is. I think he's a Hall of Famer. He's not that. I think when you're letting players like him in, you're lowering the bar. And I want I think only the great of the great should be in the Hall of Fame. That's what I truly believe here. And one more note. Best wishes out to Gabe Morenci's mom. I know she's ill. So hope everything works out for you there, Gabe.
Absolutely. We'll have her... in our prayers. You know, one of my favorite things about Hall of Fame debates that are coming up, I think people lie to themselves a lot when they say Philip Rivers is in and Eli is out. I'm sure Rivers has better numbers. They're not going to put Rivers in and hold out Eli Manning when they're from the same draft class and one of them has two Super Bowl MVPs. You can run up and down the street all day and debate whether how much stock you want to put into that Eli's had struggles for years, that he was carried by a defense. It doesn't matter. It's simply he beat Brady twice in the Super Bowl, one of them to stop a perfect season. He has two Super Bowl MVPs. If you have Rivers in, Eli's getting in. Now, if you think both of them are out, that's another conversation. I think people are lying to themselves when they're projecting Rivers gets in and Eli does not.
Oh, you're 100% correct. There's no way in hell that Eli's not getting. Forget, you don't even have to put Rivers in this conversation. Eli's in. Now, once again, should he be in? No. I mean, not even close in my mind. I don't even think he's nowhere near a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he's getting in. The NFL's weird. It's all about championships. You win one, odds are you're getting in. You win two, you're 100% getting in. There's no other way about it. He'll get in. Plus, not that the name really carries him in, because I think he gets in on his own, but the fact that he's a man, he's getting in. It's like the royalty of the NFL, the Kennedys, for crying out loud. So he's getting in. You know, you want to have an argument all day about how good a quarterback he is? That's where the argument is. Does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Probably not. I mean, if you're going to have a fantasy draft of all the Hall of Fame quarterbacks, he's going in the late rounds. I mean, that's just
that's
I mean,
a fun
it's
idea.
Even close. It really is when you think about it. Just have a, no way to obviously no way to play it out, but it'd be fun to have a draft, see what some of your teams would look like, and with all these great players that are in there. But I said I don't give. I love talking about it, and I'll certainly argue and debate about it all day long. But I'm not one of these guys that gets upset about who gets in the Hall of Fame, who gets left out, you know, who wins the MVP, who wins Cy Young, Rookie of the Year. It's all BS half the time. You know, the writers who vote for these things, sometimes they have deals with players to vote for them to get better interviews. This happens all the time. It's all political. Mm-hmm. So I don't care. And I don't get all upset about it. I don't care if the player on my favorite team wins the award or not. Oh, Aaron Judge didn't win MVP last year. Oh, I don't care. I'm a Yankee fan. Meant very little to me that he didn't win it. Okay? If Andujar or Torres doesn't win Rookie of the Year this year, I'm not going to lose a wink of sleep. Okay? It's just, I think it's silly that we argue, we go bananas about this. The Hall of Fame, in my mind, in pretty much all sports, has been watered down for years, where players have gotten in that have no business being in the Hall of Fame. All right? Some of these guys aren't even in the Hall very good. And so, like I said, it's a fun little topic. We can bitch and moan about it all you want. But, I mean, I think it comes down to me. As if you want to go back to the Rivers-Eli argument, you're starting a team, you know, which quarterback would you want? Well, I'd want Rivers. Mm. You know, he certainly lasted long as far as being a top quarterback. Eli's not in the quarterback Rivers is now. Yes, Eli has won more. Yes, it's been because of the defense more than anything else. Rivers hasn't had that defense. He does now, but he hasn't had that earlier in his career. But there's also something to be said for winning. You know, Eli knew how to win. Maybe that's protecting the ball some, not being stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, using that, knowing he had the good defense and not taking chances. You know, there's something to be said for that as well. When I say Eli's not in, I'm not saying he's a terrible quarterback. I'm not saying that at all. You know, I'm saying he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's right. Not really a knock. You know, there are very few guys who are Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And I think one thing that's going to be tough, Kevin, in this day and age, because the game has changed, the game is nothing like it was in the 70s. Or 80s, or 90s for that matter. The game is all built for the past now. The numbers we're going to see, average quarterbacks are going to crush the passing numbers of quarterbacks from yesteryear.
Oh my goodness.
And by yesteryear, I mean guys I grew up with for crying out loud. You know, and they're going to crush. So it's going to be very hard. You're not going to be able to judge them on those players. You're going to have to judge them on the players of today, the players they played with. And that's going to be tough for some. You're going to see quarterbacks get in who are like, really? Really? You know, that's a Hall of Famer. Wow. You know, because their numbers are going to be astronomical. I'm not talking about the Brees and the Rodgers. Those guys are in different categories. But I'm talking about lesser quarterbacks who are going to have monster numbers better than any Hall of Famer that's already in the Hall of Fame. That's just the way the game is nowadays. All the rules have changed because the NFL wants to see 31-30 games, 38-37 games, exciting games. You know, it's all the rules have changed for the passing game. So those numbers are going to be skewed a little bit. And, you know, it's, as I said, I don't get all worked up about this, but it's a fun topic to debate.
There are so many fun things you said there. Let me, first of all, I don't know if at any point I will ever be able to be like you in terms of awards. I get mad at awards every year. I was very upset Aaron Judge did not win MVP. Every year I'm upset when LeBron doesn't win MVP. And honestly, the Hall of Fame stuff hasn't bothered me, but a lot of it's because to this point in my life, a ton of Hall of Fame classes have had a lot of guys that I just didn't get to grow up watching. I remember I was talking with Mike where, you know, Brian Dawkins, Brian Urlacher, Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, I had four of those five guys' jerseys. I've seen all five of them play. So this was kind of like, you know, it's going to start to become now where I'll probably start to get very upset about the Hall of Fame. But in terms of how they're going to start to break records. Oh, my goodness. Right now, Matt Stafford is 29th in yards all time. All time, Matt Stafford. He's going to easily climb into the top 10. He'll moonwalk into the top 10. I mean, you have within the top 30, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 guys that are active. Breeze, Brady, Big Ben. Philip Rivers, Palmer, they have as active. He's not really active. Matt Ryan, 16th. Aaron Rodgers is 20th. They're both getting to the top 10. Yeah, Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's is already top 25 in yards. So we'll see. That might climb up. 4,000-yard season for him this year will get him into the 20s, or into probably into 20 or better. So that's on the horizon for Flacco, a Super Bowl MVP. So is it time for Joe Flacco's Super Hall of Fame bust to start getting drawn up? I mean, Jay Cutler's at 27.
He makes the Hall of Fame, I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean,
Alex Smith's at 42.
You make the argument for me, actually. The game is just different nowadays. It just is. I mean, you're right. And these are guys, by the way, obviously because they've been around for a while, who haven't played purely in the passing times, because half their career was before the rules changed, and the other half now. So you're going to hear a lot of weird names. I mean, you just brought up some excellent names as far as guys who no one would consider Hall of Famers, but are in the top 30 or top 40 of all-time quarterback yardage. It's crazy. And those names are going to start to get, you know, weirder and weirder as time moves on.
Oh, I mean, look, I'm just going down even a little bit further. Andy Dalton's not been around very long. He started in 2011. He's top 70. He's at 69th right now. Cam Newton, everybody rips him more of a runner than a passer. 73rd. That is a fantastic point that you make, that the way the game is changing. Breeze is going to break Peyton's record for yards. He is a little more than 1,000 away. 1,500 yards, Breeze becomes the all-time yards leader in the history of football. He's gonna do that this year. Breeze is one of those guys. We don't have to go down this rabbit hole, but he is a couple of good seasons with a good defense away from being in that greatest quarterback of all time discussion. He's gonna have the yards record.
Agreed.
He has the all-time completion percentage record. I'm gonna pull it up right now in terms of where he is with passing touchdowns, but it cannot be far behind whatever that record is. Yeah, he's tied for third right now at 488. Peyton's again at the top at 539, so he'll become one of, I'm sure Brady will get there as well, one of four quarterbacks with 500 all-time touchdowns. Who knows, maybe he'll actually get to the record. Again, all-time yards record, completion record is there. Yeah, I mean, we do have the ones who, I mean, he's a for sure lock Hall of Famer. I guess it's a matter of where he finishes amongst those all-time rankings.
Makes you wonder what would have happened if he didn't fail that Miami Dolphins physical.
With Nick Saban too, that's a 30 for, I don't even know if it's a 30 for 30. I just need a little quick documentary on just the what if of that. Because then the Brady stuff, listen, it doesn't exist the way it does. Because then they have a competent team for all these years to go up against.
Yep, same division.
Imagine we had
just the,
oh my goodness. Imagine we had Brady and Belichick versus Saban and Breeze for a decade plus, 15 years.
You know, it's fun to think about because things change. Brady would have had some legitimate competition within that division. The NFL is a quarterback-driven league. You have a quarterback, you're a good team. It's really that simple. And with I'm not saying New England wouldn't have won, you know, their fair share, but I don't think they win as many. There are going to be some of those games where, Breeze isn't going to win because he's going to have a great game.
Absolutely.
That day.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe Miami makes the playoffs. You know, so it's amazing. You know, one failed physical. You know, one team didn't take a chance. The other team did. And fortunes change. You know, and I wonder if there's other teams, by the way, that wouldn't even didn't even want anything to do with Breeze because of the shoulders. They didn't even give a chance to take a physical. You think about it, I'm sure that had to happen. Yeah, so it's amazing when you think about it. Breeze coming up with a shoulder injury. No one knew if he could throw again. Yeah, I mean, it's freaky when you think about it. How far things, like I said, New England maybe. I mean, I don't want to get too negative on New England. I think, oh my God, it'd be drastically different. I don't think it'd be drastically different. But I do think that there would have been a handful of games. Breeze would have beat Brady. You know, Breeze would have won a game he needed to win. You know, maybe take away a Super Bowl, or at least a Super Bowl appearance. You know, maybe it's just wishful thinking because we're getting tired of seeing New England in the Super Bowls. And I'm not a New England Patriots hater, by the way. But we are getting a little tired of seeing them in the Super Bowl every year. A little little variety would be nice. But that being said, you know, you brought up the one time I was definitely rooting for New England, not that I've ever really rooted against them, was during the undefeated season for the Giants. Not because I was rooting against the Giants, because I wanted to see an undefeated season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to see history. You know, something that would have been better. The 72 Dolphins. I was 3 years old. Didn't really watch that. So I know, didn't get to see much of that game, that season there. But I would have liked to have seen an undefeated season. So I was definitely rooting for the Patriots there. And the Giants ruined that. Damn them. Oh, because I forget which Super Bowl. Was that the one where I came in the quarterback's name, dropped the ball, an interception. So that would have ended the game. But I like seeing history. You know, I do in all sports, by the way. I like to see history, whether it's four home runs a game, a no hitter. You know, I root for no hitters all the time to be able to see, to be able to watch perfect games and all that. And same thing in football, undefeated seasons, big time yardage games, 300 yard, you know, if a running back can ever get 250 plus yards, anything like that. And I'm also, I guess, a doomsday guy, too. I like seeing history in the negative, too. Peterman throwing five interceptions last year was fun.
Oh,
throw some more. Let's see how much longer we can leave him out there. Hey, we've never seen it before. Cool.
What a treat that would have been. You know, that's so wild to think just the fact that it changes football on multiple levels. I mean, because Saban doesn't go to Alabama. I'm sure Bama would have still been great. They'd have figured it out coaching-wise, but it wouldn't have been this dynasty. And honestly, right, we talk about Brady versus Peyton as the quarterback rivalry, certainly at least of my lifetime. It might have been Brady versus Breeze just because of the proximity. In terms of them playing each other twice every single season, and potentially, you know, could have been more depending on how playoffs would have went. It's such a wild what if because of how many different ways. I mean, Brady's never lost that division. The only time the Pats have lost it was Brady went down. It was the Matt Castle year. They still went 11-5. If I'm not mistaken, they're the only time a team has ever won went 11-5 and missed the playoffs. So it lets you know what that the domination has looked like. And not to sour it, but I think anybody who wants to be honest can admit it has helped that the rest of the league has just not been able to string together any type of consistency. A wild what if, a wild tangent there on Fantasy Sports today. We'll come back. We'll get back to the Minnesota Vikings and the Denver Broncos. That's next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
We are back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Fantasy Sports Today. Devin Walsh alongside George Kurt, Sean Angle downstairs making it all happen for us here. Nice little tangent there, just going back and forth, talking about, you know, some what ifs, some potential Hall of Fame guys. Interesting stuff. Let me quickly, though, let you know that here on the network, we are giving away more World Series tickets. And this time it is to the winner of free DFS baseball contests. The contests are sponsored by DKMS, who are looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. While 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their families, 70%, which is nearly 14,000 each year, must rely on a benevolent stranger to step up and donate. You can find out how you can help the cause and win 2018 World Series tickets playing free daily fantasy baseball by going to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That is dailyroto.com/DKMS. Your tickets to the World Series and a blood cancer patient's ticket to life. George, I don't know if they're going to see the Yankees in the World Series, though. You know, I'm not sure if that's happening.
Yankees aren't going to the World Series, all right? And I've been on this all year long, by the way. If you want to listen to me in anything I've said in March or anything I wrote in March, I said the same thing. In my mind, you know, when we talk football, you look at the quarterbacks. All right, that lets you know who the good teams are. In baseball, it's your starting staffs. You know, the Yankees had an okay staff, but you think about it. It was Severino, Tanaka, you know, Sabathia, Gray, and Montgomery. That was your starting staff. back then. Severino, okay, I had no issues with him. You know, and I compared him to Boston pretty much because that's the team you really need to beat. Severino and Sale pretty much wipe each other out. Right? And then, but then after that, Tanaka wasn't very good last year. You know, he's good the last couple of months. You know, and this year he's terrible the first couple of months. Now he's pitched better now, although this last start was bad. You know, Gray, he's already been demoted. Right? It's funny. I was against the Gray trade with the Yankees. I didn't like it at all. Not because I didn't think Gray would pitch well. I actually thought he would pitch well. I just thought he'd get hurt. And I didn't want to give up the kind of talent they gave up. So, you know, it's strange how that worked out. But Gray's already out of the rotation. Now you got Lance Lynn. You know, great, you know, serviceable guy. Jay Happ, once again, serviceable guy. Who are you going to beat in the playoffs? Assuming you can win the wild card, which, by the way, is a big assumption. It's a one-game playoff. Anything can happen. The way the Yankees are playing, that one game may be in Oakland. You know, Oakland's about as hot as they come. Yankees are really sleepwalking the past month. But let's say you win that. You're playing Boston next round, boys and girls. That's who they're playing. I mean, you just got wiped out in Fenway. And now you're going to think you're going to beat them 4 out of 7? With Severino not pitching like an ace. So you can't say he's the equivalent of Sale right now. You know, and any other pitching matchup you like? And really, any other one? Porcello just made you look like little leaguers, even though everyone else is beating him up. I understand it's not fair right now because there's no Aaron Judge. You know, and he's a big part of that offense. There's no Gary Sanchez. I get it, he wasn't playing well anyway, but he's still a big presence in that lineup. You know, but the Yankees right now don't look like a very good team. They're not playing very well. You know, they're almost playing like they had this thing wrapped up and they're not interested. Oh, our next important game's in October, and they're just going through the motions. Problem is, it's August 12th. I mean, you can blow this. It is possible to do that. I think it's unlikely because Seattle has issues of their own. And Seattle looks like it would have to be a team that would knock the Yankees out. But still, it could happen. So they're not winning the World Series. They're not better than Boston. They're not better than Houston. Houston has as many injuries as the Yankees have. Correa just came back. Altuve's on the DL. George Springer should be back, it looks like, maybe this week. But, how are you beating that pitching staff? I understand you almost did it last year, but they've added Morton. They've added Garrett Cole. You got Verlander. You got Morton. You got Cole. You know, Dallas Keuchel is now pitching well. And even you can say what you want about Keuchel. He's their fourth starter. I'm not including Lance McCullers in that because I just don't think they're going to have to put him in the bullpen when he comes back. He gets hurt every year. So how are you beating that staff? How are you beating Cleveland staff? Kluber, we beat Kluber twice last year. He was hurt. Everybody knew that he was hurt. Kluber. Trevor Bauer, who looks like one of the best pitchers in baseball right now. Carlos Carrasco. Good luck. The Yankees pitching staff can't match up against any of these guys. And you might say, well, we got the bullpen. Well, A, you got to get to the bullpen. Which, okay, let's say you get there. Who in the bullpen's pitching well right now? Mm-hmm. Who? I mean, Chapman looks like he can't find the plate. You know, it looks like he needs a GPS roadmap to find it. He has no idea what's going on there. Robertson's up and down. Britton really hasn't been very good coming to the Yankees. Keeps giving up important runs there. You know, Chad Green, he's having his issues now. It's really been Betances who's pitched by far the best. And we all know he's really one shaky outing away from walking people around the bases as well. So I'm a Yankee fan. You know, they're a good team, but they're not the best team in the American League. They probably are at best third, maybe even fourth. That wild card, I get it. They're going to win 100 games, and it's not fair. But the idea is to win your division. And, you know, and they couldn't do it this year. They're a good team. They'll get better. But until they add another starting pitcher or two, they're not going to be able to really compete with these other teams.
Oh, that was unfortunate. Everything you said made sense. All right, we're getting back to football because that just, you've been so right on that for so long, too. Anyway, enough of this Yankees talk. Adam Thielen as Stefon Diggs right now on fantasyfootballcalculator.com. 12-team PPR. Wide receiver number 11 is Adam Thielen. Wide receiver number 12 is Stefon Diggs. Now, I'm sure it happens. I mean, this is what happens with the preseason. People are going to look at that game and go, ooh, look at Stefon Diggs. Look at Kirk Cousins. And they'll say Diggs over Thielen. Although typically right now, I think all year, Thielen has been drafted ahead of Diggs. Let's start here. Do you think the Vikings end up with two wide receiver ones?
Probably not. And my reasoning is going to be this. That defense is damn good. They're going to win some games. They're going to be over at halftime or early in the third quarter. They're not going to need to throw the ball all over the place in the second half. You know, they're not going to need Kirk Cousins to throw the ball 35, 40 times. They got Dalvin Cook. They'll be able to run the ball, kill the clock. Defense not letting up points. Kill the clock in the running game. Get out of there. You know, he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. You know, worry about next week without putting the ball in the air a whole bunch of times. You know, so I'm going to say no, but not because I don't believe in these guys. You know, I wouldn't shock you if one makes it. I mean, to be two top wide receiver one, you also need a lot of touchdowns. And maybe Dalvin Cook, you know, snakes those. He takes those. They go out the 1 yard. They go out the 5 yard line. Cook runs it in here. I'll say no, but it's not because I don't like him.
You know, it's just quickly because you mentioned Dalvin Cook. When I first saw Latavius Murray take off, I was like, oh, Dalvin Cook looks amazing. I remember Latavius Murray just with that type of burst. And preseason, sure, whatever. But Latavius Murray was just popping off the screen in that game, no?
It's funny. I mean, I don't know if they knew what they had in Cook when they drafted him. They signed Latavius Murray. He was good last year, and he could be a problem this year for fantasy owners if he steals, if he has a certain role, which you don't know what it'll be. I mean, I still want Cook. I'm not shying away from him because of that. But like I said, Murray's not a bad player. He's not a bad player at all. You know, so it is in the back of my mind. Oh, what if Murray's a touchdown guy? You know, that would be extremely annoying if you spent a second-round pick on Dalvin Cook. And he's not, you know, now you're looking at 4 to 6 touchdowns rather than 8 to 12. Because you know, I think Dalvin Cook, upside, if he is the number one guy, there's no one else there, would be, you know, 1,100 yards and 8 to 12 touchdowns. I'd love him. But the fact that I have him not quite a running back one is because of Latavius Murray. I think there will be a certain role for him. And I think it'll be, I mentioned Eichler before, where he'll be a guy who spells Melvin Gordon first series here and there. Murray's role is not going to be that. It'll be bigger than that. And that's my problem. I think it's another situation where Minnesota, playing for the playoffs, they know they're a damn good team. You know, they're going to try and make sure Cook is healthy long term. You know, so maybe they don't need to run him 18 to 20 times a game. You know, maybe it's 14 times a game. And those other touches all go to Latavius Murray. Maybe they don't want him taking the beating, the bruising at the goal line. And that's Murray's role. To be the touchdown guy. We don't know yet, but that is a big concern in the back of my mind, yes.
You know, I was going through, and we're going to talk a little bit later on the show about more extensively, just kind of best ball shares. I've done 22 so far, varied in league size, 6, 12, even 4. So, you know, that can kind of skew where some guys are lapped up, whatever it may be. I have Adam Thielen on one team, and I have no Stephon Diggs. Within 22 drafts. And the reason for that has been they're going incredibly high, and I don't feel confident that they're both going to justify their ADP, but I'm not positive on who ends up being the one to fall back. Now, if I go through last year, again with Case Keenum at quarterback for most of the way, they still had Bradford, who was good in the two games that he had played. Thielen had 91 catches on 143 targets. Diggs had 64 catches on 95. 48 targets between the two guys. Now, part of that is Diggs did miss a couple of games, but that still is a disparity that I don't know if that happens again. That feels like a lot. And I mean, Diggs, he played only 14 games last season. I can't remember if they sat their guys in week. So Thielen played all 16. So they probably didn't really sit their guys, or at least not for an entire game in that week. So two games between the two. The other difference, though, between it was Diggs had 8 touchdowns and Thielen had just the 4 touchdowns. So I'm curious with Cousins, who pulls away here? And you don't want to put too much into any one preseason game, especially not the first preseason game. But he was rolling with Stephon Diggs for sure. I just wonder if that was the target disparity comes down, because for these two guys, for one of them to see almost 50 more targets, that just does not feel likely to repeat itself.
Well, everything you said is correct. All right, we're all hearing the same thing, that right now it is Diggs, the guy that's a Cousins' favorite target. But it is August 12th. They haven't had a lot of work together. That could change. You know, maybe that Thielen and Cousins are still working on timing, chemistry, all that that comes along with quarterback. Thielen's a bigger target, you know, and he'll be close to the line of scrimmage, so that could play a part of this as well, that he ends up being someone Cousins likes. Maybe Cousins feels like he, since Diggs is the more of the explosive play guy, the big play guy, that he needs to work on that first. You know, get that in shape, and then the rest of the offense will take off from there. There's a very good argument to be made for that. You know, because if you can get that down, hey, you know, that'll be it'll help the offense tremendously. It'll keep the safeties off the line of scrimmage, which is what you want there. If I'm drafting, you know, it really depends on your philosophy. Once again, do you? I think the conservative play is stealing. Safer play, get his targets, get his catches, PPR league. You know, you get a safe amount of plays. Diggs, and I don't want people to take this wrong. I'm not saying he's boom or bust. I'm not saying that at all. He's a guy I would take as my wide receiver two, pretty much on any team. But I think there'll be weeks where he has four catches for 36 yards, and other weeks where he has, you know, 6, 112, two touchdowns. He has a big. I think there'll be some disparity there. Where Thielen's going to be more along the guy of 670 on most weeks. You know, a touchdown here and there. I do think Diggs is going to score more touchdowns than Thielen. For some reason, he doesn't seem to be an end zone guy, which is strange, because he is a big target there. But I mean, it could be because Keenum didn't use him in the end zone last year. Maybe it's reversed this year. Maybe now Thielen will be a touchdown guy because Cousins will use him. You know, we don't know. But I also wonder if, you know, Thielen runs the same kind of routes as Kyle Rudolph does. And that's why Rudolph catches the touchdowns in the end zone and Thielen doesn't. Once again, Rudolph's a bigger target than Thielen. So that's come to my mind as well. But like I said, bottom line is, I love the defense so much, and it's always important because if you love the defense, team has a good defense, well, then the offense is going to get the ball. Not only are they going to get the ball more often because defense is going to take it away from the other team, but they're going to get it in better field position. They're not going to be stuck at their own 10-yard line. That's like a lot of three and outs for opposing teams, which means your punts are coming, you're getting the ball at the 40. You know, so it's going to be hard for me not to like this Minnesota team.
And I think, though, the tough thing then really is, do you bank on Diggs popping? Or, you know, that's the thing, too. I'm not even positive that Thielen is now the more reliable guy. Because if does he need that target disparity? I mean, last year, 400-plus more receiving yards than Adam Thielen. Because here's the one thing I think I would say, and tell me if you agree with it. I think that it is more likely that Diggs can come closer to Thielen's reception and yards totals than for Thielen to surpass Diggs in terms of touchdown numbers.
Oh, I would agree. You know, I think Diggs is a better receiver.
Yeah.
You know, all around. Staying healthy could be a problem for him. You know, okay. He's got to stay on the field. He doesn't seem to get banged up a lot. But, you know, we also wonder this. You know, Kirk Cousins is a different type of quarterback than Keenum. He's got a stronger arm. Not a rocket, but he's got a stronger arm than Keenum. He might take more chances down the field. You know, maybe he won't be looking underneath as much for Thielen. I wonder if that plays into this as well. You know, we'll be looking to take deeper shots here. I wonder how defenses are going to attack Minnesota. Are they going to be eight men in the box? They're going to play, you know, cover two deep safeties, one over the top, cover one. You know, I'm curious to see how this goes about it here. And I think that also plays a part in it. Because if you're playing cover one with one safety covers the deep, I think Cousins are going to take some shots. You know, and I think those shots will be mainly at Diggs, letting him run the deep balls there. A lot of this obviously could depend on how well Cook plays. Mm-hmm. You know, if he looks healthy again, he's running up some running room there, then it forces the safeties closer to the line of scrimmage. I don't think they'll see a ton of eight men in the box. I like Dalvin Cook, but I don't think he's not, you know, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, so I don't think you'll see a ton of that. And I don't think the offensive line is also good enough to force that safety to come down. But this also plays a part in it here. But this is all reasons why, though, that I can't put them in my wide receiver one category. Mm-hmm. They're just outside because of this. And listen, they change quarterbacks. So we don't really know. We're hypothesizing. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to say educated guessing what Cousins is going to do, but we don't know in the end. Yeah. What we know is from the reports. Right now, Diggs does look to be the favorite target of Cousins. And that's enough for me right now to put Diggs above Thielen.
It is going to be interesting to see how that rolls. I also think a lot of people, at least I know for me, I feel good about Kyle Rudolph in terms of this offense. Last year, had 57 catches for 532 yards on 81 targets, saw 8 touchdowns. And I think that he's going to be a big part of this offense with Kirk Cousins there, because he has shown that he does like to use his tight end. And there's nobody cutting into Kyle Rudolph's numbers, right? Like, we can go back and forth, Thielen Diggs. Even, you know, you mentioned Latavius Murray. How much could he mess with Dalvin Cook's total production? It's going to be Kyle Rudolph as far as this team's tight end. But all of that can kind of lead to the question then. If we're in on Thielen, we're in on Diggs, we think Dalvin Cook's going to pop, right? And part of that is being excited about what he can do out of the backfield. And we think that Kyle Rudolph is a lock, tight end one, no questions asked. Then how do we start valuing Kirk Cousins? He's a quarterback one, but maybe Kirk Cousins needs to be a little bit higher. We'll discuss that coming up here next on Fantasy Sports Today on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Work it, make it, do it, makes us harder, better, faster, stronger. Work it harder, make it better, do it faster, makes us stronger, more than ever, ever, after our work is ever.
Back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single entry DFS site. They have free rolls registering all the time and great promotions for free prizes. So keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million Survivor contest opening about a week before NFL kickoff. Go to fantasyfactor.com. That is fantasyfactor.com and check all of that out. So we were talking a little bit about Kirk Cousins there. And right now, according to Fantasy Football Calculator, we see him as the 9th quarterback off the board. Wentz, Cam Newton, Andrew Luck just in front of him, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matthew Stafford, and Matt Ryan just behind him. And, you know, as I was saying, if we're going to be all in on all of these Vikings, and in a way, so but we're not sure where to rank them, I can get the whole pie, I can get the whole offense by just drafting Kirk Cousins. And then Is the question, is Kirk Cousins being a little bit undervalued? Should we be talking about him in that Breeze, Wentz, Newton tier more so than the Garoppolo, Stafford, Matt Ryan tier?
Quarterback tiers this year is weird. All right, now I wrote the for the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package. I wrote the quarterback column and I tiered the quarterbacks. I have Aaron Rodgers in a tier all by himself. Okay, I think he is that good. No quarterback I'm taking above Aaron Rodgers. He's the guy I want. Not that I'll get him in many leagues, because I won't draft the quarterback I won't draft the quarterback in round 3, 4, probably not in round 5, although that's certainly where the discussion starts with me if Aaron Rodgers starts to slip. Now, my second tier, I have Brady, Wilson, Wentz, Watson. And why I say it's weird this year is these guys all have some warts. You know, Brady doesn't have much of a receiving core left, although you can make an argument through most of his career he hasn't much of a receiving core. You know, Edelman's suspended. Cooks is no longer there. You're relying on Hogan, who can never seem to stay healthy here. He just signed Derek Decker. Yay! Good luck with that. Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin's out for the preseason. Okay, the running game seems to be in flux. Chris Carson's now starting, not the rookie. The offensive line is still a mess. Can you really ask Russell Wilson to do this all by himself again, especially if Baldwin's not 100%? No Jimmy Graham this year? Not fun. Carson Wentz, we just don't know if he'll start week one. I think he does, but we don't know for sure if he does. Deshaun Watson, listen, I put him in tier two, but there's some doubt here. He's only started 6-7 NFL games. NFL teams certainly watch film of him. They'll slow him down somewhat. So you wonder about that. And then you get the next tier, the Kirk Cousins tier. Cam Newton's in that tier. You know, top of that tier. You can make it up, he should be in tier two. Newton, Breeze, Cousins. I haven't put Luck in it yet, but I'll probably end up doing that once I, once I feel much more comfortable in that he's playing, and I think he is. I'm really not worried about it. And even that one, Breeze doesn't throw the ball as much anymore because of Kamara, because of the defense is better. They don't need him to throw the ball up and down the field anymore. You know, I already mentioned Andrew Luck. It just has to prove to me you're healthy and you're not going to take unnecessary hits. Cam Newton, still, you know, he's not never going to complete a high percentage of passes. Not what he is. You know, he's not a very good down-the-field thrower, but an incredible athlete. You know, he's going to run the ball. I was worried about him last year, wondering if Carolina would play it safe with him and not want him to run as much, not want him to get his head hit and take a chance on a concussion. Last year, they threw caution to the wind, and I don't blame them. They need Cam to do what Cam does in order to win games here. And now we get the Cousins here. You know, what do we feel about Cousins? Is he going to be that kind of player? Yeah, there are certain quarterbacks in this league that play on great defenses that are going to be asked to be really a little bit more than game managers because teams are going to figure, you know what? We're only going to let up 17 points a game on defense, so we only need 20 to win. We don't need to take chances, have these quarterbacks turn the ball over, make mistakes, we lose the game. You know, Cousins is more than that. He can do more than that. And with that offense, I think he will do more than that. But I'm having a hard time figuring out exactly, do I want him to be my quarterback one? And it's, so that's my issue here. I'm having a hard time pulling that trick. I don't have him as a quarterback one. And he's always there when my time. I mean, I generally wait in most leagues till round 8, round 9, round 10 to draft the quarterback. Because if I'm not taking Aaron Rodgers, really, I already mentioned all the guys that I have in tier 2 I worry about. And then it comes down to tier 3. There's so many of these guys. And then the guys even after that. You know, I mentioned Luck, Stafford, Roethlisberger, Phillip Rivers. I don't mind any of these guys. So I'll wait forever on the quarterback. And I generally wait then after Kirk Cousins because I'm just not sure that I want to believe in Cousins. I did last year. Things didn't work out for me. Not saying it was his fault. You know, the receiving corps in Washington ended up being a disaster. Jordan Reed can't stay healthy. Terrell Pryor was the biggest bust going ever. You know, and Crowder had a down year. Doxson really, at best, was up and down. So I think the bottom line for me is, Kev, I'm having a hard time trusting Cousins right now, even though, truly, I believe I should trust him, but I'm having a hard time doing it.
You know, it's interesting. All I can really go off of just in terms of how I'm drafting this season are the best balls I've done. And best balls, it is a little bit of a different strategy where, you know, if you have a high variance guy, maybe a Big Ben, you're a little bit more comfortable with it in a best ball because you don't have to worry about starter sitting. You know, he'll play. You'll get the big week out of him when he gives it to you. And when he has that weird bad road game against the Chicago Bears, your other quarterback should be in for you. So it's no problem. But I went through this weekend, and you know, I was sorting it out, and I found out that I'm actually kind of grabbing the higher quarterbacks more than I thought. I got 7 shares of Wentz. I've got 4 shares of Brady, 3 of Russell Wilson, 3 of Cam Newton. And I think part of that is, you know, a lot of the times, you know, people who, especially when you're playing best balls in June, July, these are people that play a lot of fantasy. So, and a lot of people in fantasy, the consensus is typically weighed on quarterback. But I find myself, I think, in a lot of spots now where because people are waiting so long on quarterback, and you know what, we're in the whatever round, you know, 6th, 7th round, and there are still elite quarterbacks on the board. And because I just feel more comfortable, I think that's why tiers are very important. Throughout all positions, but I think it helps a lot of quarterback, maybe more than the others. I think I want to have a quarterback that I'm comfortable with this year, especially in best ball as well. I think that that helps, but that was kind of something that jumped out to me as I was breaking down just the shares that I'm holding where I'm not sitting and waiting a ton as much as I thought. And I think that might carry over where I've been on both sides of the wait forever for quarterback. You get the guy, all of a sudden it's not that hot. You're playing the waiver wire for quarterback, and it's a bit of a headache. And then I've been on the side where I've got a quarterback. You know, I had a little bit of Cam Newton that MVP season. It's just a lot easier. It's a lot easier. And it's now he wasn't going as high as he should have been, considering the fact that he won MVP. So, yeah, you try and get a little bit of value. I'm not saying draft Aaron Rodgers. And for sure, if you've listened to me on any program, don't drive to Sean Watson. But I think I want to have that, I believe how you tiered them, a quarterback within that top 2 and waiting for, you know, see how tier 4 shakes out.
Quarterback It's a weird position. Now, first off, I'm a strong believer that all leagues should go to Superflex. You should have the option to start two quarterbacks, mainly because quarterback is so deep right now, which is why we tell you to wait forever. That's why. Because if you get the number 12 quarterback, you're fine. You're just fine. You get the number 14 quarterback, you're probably fine. You know, you can wait forever here. Now, what people misconstrue is just because we say wait for our own quarterback doesn't mean you should never take a quarterback early. If the value is there, you take him. When I say I will never have Aaron Rodgers, I will never have him in a league where his ADP right now says he's drafted in the fourth round. Well, guess what? I'll never have him then because I'm not taking him in the fourth round. I'm not probably not taking him in the fifth round, although if I had the last pick in the fifth round, there's some value there. If there's no one that's screaming on the board, draft me, draft me, draft me, and there's no running back there, like there's no wide receiver, then I might think about him. If he's there in the sixth round, I'm almost certainly taking him because, once again, he slipped. The value is there now. So people misconstrue that. That just because we say don't take quarterback early, that we don't mean don't ever take quarterback. No, the value is there. I'll do it. And believe me, I don't have any shares of Aaron Rodgers yet. But there was one league where I came within three picks. It was the sixth round. I was going to take him. And unfortunately, he went. So I couldn't grab him because the value was there. Everything's value-based. You know, when I say I'm not taking a quarterback early, that means in the fourth round. All right, certainly, obviously not before that. So I'm not going to take a quarterback there. Now, I'm a big, huge proponent in Superflex leagues. I think all leagues should go to that because it adds more strategy then. If you add a Superflex league, which is the ability to start a second quarterback, you don't have to, but the ability, well, then now quarterbacks will be drafted as early as round one. It adds more players to the player pool that you can draft there. And that makes the game better. And it no longer means I can tell you, hey, wait forever on a quarterback. It's the reason I want to get rid of kickers. Any position where we tell you, wait till round 15, should be gotten rid of. Just should be gotten rid of. I mean, there's no strategy to it then. You're just waiting. I want to get rid of defense. The same thing. You know, we're just telling you to wait. I'm a proponent of IDPs. I understand most people aren't. I'm not going to do a full diatribe on it. But even if you want to get rid of defense, go to another flex. I don't care. Is it when we tell you to wait till round 15, round 16, or wait till round 9 to draft the quarterback, to me that means the position doesn't mean as much. We got to change it to make it mean something. And that's why I like Superflex leagues. I love Superflex leagues. You know, the ability to add that second quarterback. There are plenty of quarterbacks to go around. I mean, really, it is that deep. Yeah. So, honestly, I'm a huge proponent of it. And I almost always, in all leagues I play, in one quarterback leagues, I'm waiting on a quarterback. Now, that being said, it did bite me in the ass in one league. The league I was in with the RotoWire guys, I was waiting on a quarterback. You know, it's round 9, and there's still plenty of quarterbacks left. And I decided I had the fifth pick. I decided to take whoever I took. But I thought, well, maybe stick a quarterback here. What if a run starts? You know, but there were plenty of quarterbacks left. And most people, I think it was only Chris Liss and I that didn't have a quarterback. So I'm in good shape. And sure enough, though, teams started to take second quarterbacks. And I'm like, oh, crap. You know, so I had to go 17 picks. And well, I think 6 or 7 teams took second quarterbacks. And I'm coming around the bend back to my pick in 10. And I said, Chris List, he had the 6th pick. I had the 5th pick. So he goes before me. He's the only other guy who hadn't taken a quarterback 1 yet. And there was only one quarterback left that I really wanted. It was Matt Ryan. You know, and we're in the it's a live draft. We're in the suite. And I see Chris looking through the list of the stickers. And he's going far down. I'm like, oh, crap. It's an alphabetical order. I'm like, crap. You know, he's looking for the R's. I knew it. And he took Matt Ryan. So it did bite me in that league that I waited too long. But that was only because, like I said, it was shocking that so many teams, and this would be considered an expert league, took second quarterbacks. And so, yeah, I ended up with Alex Smith as my quarterback. And I had to back him up with Eli Manning because I'm not going to trust Smith week in and week out. And this is before Darius Geis got hurt, which really, really made my freaking week. So, you know, like I said, it can come back to bite you. Well, you may have remembered, Kevin. I've said it with you. I've said it on every show. There's two players that I seem to have in every league. One's T.Y. Hilton, because I believed early on that Luck would be fine. Mm-hmm. And the other is Darius Geis. So yay for me. And I'm afraid to look at the leagues, because I know I have Geis in so many leagues, and I think I have him in that RotoWire league as well. So it's not starting off very well for me. Once again, it's why I like to draft as late as possible. Not always, can't always do it in most leagues. People like to draft early, but it's the reason why, because certain teams will have big problems because they're going to have an injury or two. We see it every year. It's unlucky. What are you going to do? So I'm not going to cry over it. Just got to move on. It's not a first-round pick. It's my fourth-round pick. I should be able to survive, I hope. I'm an optimist. But, yeah. So, I bit it in that league. You know, and it bit me in the ass. But that doesn't change my philosophy. I know in most leagues I'm going to be okay taking a quarterback in 10. It just had to be in that league. People went crazy for backup quarterbacks.
You know, that's funny. The Geis injury is actually why I was like, okay, I need to kind of break down who I have in these best ball leagues. Because I just like doing them. They're a lot of fun. And they can help create content for the programs and everything like that. I enjoy them, but I have so many that I was like, I need to break down and see how this works for me. I had 4 shares of Darius Geis. It just so happened that the running back that I have the most shares of is Chris Thompson with 8. That was one of those like, oh man, that's unfortunate, but that's also just a positive thing. Have you? We can kind of even get into that just to get your take on it as far as now the Redskins' backfield. How much of a boost is Thompson getting? Are you interested in P. Ryan or Kelly?
Am I in? Well, you have to be interested. Right now they're starting. One of them's going to start. I assume it's Rob Kelly right now because the P. Ryan looked like he was going to be lucky to make the team before the Geis injury. Now Gruden came out and said that you know, once again, this is all coach speak. We drafted Geis not because we didn't believe the guys we have on the roster, but because he was the best player available. Yeah, that's all bull crap.
Yeah.
You drafted Geis because you didn't believe in the guys on the roster, which is fine. All right? You shouldn't have believed in them. All right? So, yes. Do I think he's lying when he says he's not going to bring in outside help? I do. You know, once again, I think this is all coach speak and trying to play up the guys on your roster, which is fine. I don't have an issue with that. But I think he's going to try and bring in maybe Alfred Morris. You know, ex-Cowboy, ex-Redskin as well, who must still should have some tread on the tires there. I'm sure they'll kick the tires on DeMarco Murray, which we're going to hear over and over again. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll find out for sure how true his retirement is, you know, if he has any thoughts about coming back or not. That being said, do I have any interest? If I'm drafting this weekend, which I'm not, sure, late rounds, round 9, round 10, you'd probably have to take a shot at Kelly. You know, I probably would take Thompson over all these guys, but he is what he is. He's a third down back receiving, very good at receiving. But, you know, he's come out and said he doesn't think he'll be 100% till November. Well, that's not good, right? You never see a player say this, right? The player is always, I'm going to have a great year. I'm going to have 18,000 touchdowns and rush for 2 million yards. You know, for him to come out and say this is certainly concerning somewhat that he doesn't feel completely great. You know, maybe he's just trying to lower expectations. But as currently construed of this backfield, if I had to draft one guy first, it would be Thompson. Mm. I don't really trust Kelly. I don't trust Perrine. But if you're asking me which one to take out of Kelly and Perrine, right now it's Kelly. But I have to think they're bringing somebody else in. I think it could be Alfred Morris, as long as there's no hard feelings there from when he was playing for Washington. Mm. And I think they'd be silly not to at least call DeMarco Murray to see if he's changed his mind.
And that's funny. I think it was 2 weeks ago. We were both just sitting here saying, yeah, someone's going to test DeMarco. And I don't think that he can resist. Depend that they come and give him the money. I think, yeah, the immediate boost to me is Thompson, for this reason, where he had a defined role. We knew he was going to be really nice in terms of the pass catching game, but Geis was really going to chop into his work as a pass catcher and was going to limit how much we would see him as well getting pure carry. So I think Thompson gets the most immediate boost, where whether it be P. Ryan or even Rob Kelly, that's a lot murkier, as well as if they bring somebody else in. We'll come back. Some Broncos running backs were shining. A lot to talk here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, so keep it locked.